Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community In Depth. And that song means that we are going to be chatting it up with our friends from Hastings Family Service, Mission Possible. And we are so happy to have on the phone with us today, Chris Cope. She is the executive director of Hastings Family Service. And we're always so thrilled when they take the time to talk to us about all the good things going on. Chris, how have you been?
I have been spectacular now that we're seeing warm weather and sunshine.
No kidding. Yes, yes, yes. Well, your work has been continuing, you know, big deal that there was a pandemic going on. You still had to keep going with all your wonderful services. And I know that's been a challenge.
Yeah, you know, it is a challenge for everyone in every profession because all of our work has been changed and transformed and challenged. And, you know, at the end of the day, when I look back and reflect on this past year, there's more that I'm grateful for than I'm sad about. When it comes to our work, I guess.
Absolutely.
And I think it's because we've been required to transform the way we do our work, to change the way we do our work, and even forced to do our work differently. And what we've learned is that some of these changes are worth holding on to, even when things go back to normal. And the feedback we've received from the people we serve has been very complimentary and positive. And so because of this pandemic, our work is going to even have more impact and is going to even be a better fit for people going forward. And so I'm very grateful for that.
I bet you are. And I would assume that one of the things might be your drive-through service. Is that something?
Definitely. Definitely. The drive-through has just been a great way for families to easily get food. And it's pretty simple. And so we've learned that people really enjoy that. And, you know, I expect when our doors do open, and maybe we can even start there with that, because that's definitely a question many people are having. But I think when our doors do open, it'll be a hybrid type service that the people who choose to still come in and shop in our market and hand select each of the items that they bring home, that'll still be an option. But the prepack drive-through food order also will be an option, and so people will have more choice, I think, with what the future holds as we move forward at looking to open our doors. And you know, we're in conversation with many of our community partners, our other food shelves that we work with in Dakota County, where I'm a part of an executive director leadership group here in Dakota County, and all of the food shelves in Dakota County participate in that. And I'm also involved in multiple groups at the county level. And we're all kind of talking about, you know, what does it look like for opening doors? And many of us are still, we don't have a tentative date yet. You know, we are working on how can we make that happen. The biggest challenge for us, and I had someone come through the door last week and make a contribution for Minnesota Food Share Month, and he came to the door and he says, "You guys got to open your doors." And so I did invite him in so I could show him the reason. One of the reasons our doors aren't open right now is that there's food everywhere in the building, because our new way of delivering food is not the old-fashioned traditional way where you just went into the market and selected what you needed. But there are packing stations for all of our different ways we're giving out food now. And so if we can't open our doors until we figure out how we're going to warehouse all of the food. And so we have a staff meeting this week, and a big part of the agenda is on space planning. And it's all of our different staff identifying what kind of space do you need to work with our volunteers when we bring in more volunteers? What kind of space do you need to manage all of the clothing donations when we start accepting those again? What kind of space do you need to set up the Market Express packing stations for the twice a month really express deliveries we do? What kind of space do you need when we do our Market Cart, which is our produce delivery program? What kind of space do we need for that? That was set up yesterday, and I watched as different parts of our building transformed into produce stands and in an effort to get those packed. So the space that once was all public space is now being used for packing stations, and so we won't be opening our doors until we figure out how we can make all that happen in space safely that will also allow us to open our doors. And so and we're still watching what's going on with COVID. This has been such a welcoming place for people to come in and enjoy and hang out. And I think when the doors do open, the space will be used differently, and probably not that we would ever not want it to be welcoming, but we want it to be safe, and we want people to be able to access services when they're here, but then they probably need to move on. and so we're going to have to change some of the ways that we once operated. And so, yeah, it's a big deal. We have a county worker who is working in our office full-time. They had been, and on March 16th, they went home and they started working from home. They're still working at home. And right now, even the county isn't looking at bringing people back, and they aren't even looking at bringing people back 100% till like late in the summer. And so, you know, I think people are hopeful that things are going to open up, but there's just a lot of different moving parts to make that happen, and we are going to make it happen, and we'll make it happen well. But I can't tell you it's going to be on this date yet.
Well, that's okay, Chris. You know what? I heard some great news, and that is that you were recognized for the fact that donors have confidence in what you are doing and that you're a good steward of the donations you receive. Can you tell us about some of these awards that you just recently received, or ratings, or whatever they're called?
You're right. They are ratings, and we received our 4-star rating for the sixth consecutive time, and it's the highest possible rating that you can get, and that came from Charity Navigator, which is a national organization. And what Charity Navigator is, it's a place where savvy donors, philanthropists can go on to Charity Navigator, and they can look up Hastings Family Service. And we don't submit really anything to Charity Navigator. They actually go in and go into our 990. They look at our website to see what we have on it, and we have things like our 990 right on our website. That's our IRS filing that nonprofits are required to do, and they rate us on all these different things. They look at how much are we spending on staffing, how much are we spending on infrastructure, how much are we spending on program, and they give you ratings for all of this. And we did get, again, the highest rating based on the fact that we are committed to being transparent and being good stewards of the resources. And the thing I love about Charity Navigator is some of these big national rating agencies many years ago tried to help change the mindset, because many donors went in with good intentions, but really being critical when they saw a nonprofit was spending more money on infrastructure or staffing or technology or facilities or things like that, and almost scrutinizing them for having a higher percentage of their budget going to these things. But what Charity Navigator has, the mindset that they have wanted to change, is that if you're not spending money on infrastructure, on technology, on strategic planning and thinking, the higher level things, that ultimately your services are not going to be as impactful, because you just don't have the infrastructure to make those services efficient and as effective as they could be. And so they produced a wonderful letter called The Overhead Myth, where in the old days, it used to be like a standard that, oh gosh, if your overhead costs were over 15%, that was considered a negative reflection on the way you operated. Today, they're encouraging you to make sure you're investing in those things. We are a business, like a for-profit business, and we need to be able to have the tools to do good work to ultimately make a difference in the people that we're serving. And so I love Charity Navigator for that, and they apparently feel confidence in what we're doing and the way that we're operating, and so I'm grateful for that. So, and then the other local group that we also just received our seal from, and we actually apply for this, but it's called the Charities Review Council. And the Charities Review Council has certain metrics that we have to demonstrate and put in place, and we have to submit a lot more work to them in order to receive the seal. And this is a seal that is, once you receive it, it's good for 3 years, and then you have to go back. And really, ultimately, it's their goal to help connect donors with nonprofits and to really build confidence between both the donor and the nonprofit, so everyone has confidence in, you know, the relationship that you have together at having impact and making a difference in our world. So we're very proud of being able to continue to maintain that seal and that 4-star rating. And so thank you, Mo, for recognizing that.
Well, I think that's great, Chris. Congratulations to you as well. And people, I think, have been stressed out in so many ways over the course of the last year. Financially, many people have. So, you know, you really want to be sure that your money is going to not only a great cause, but the people that are supposed to be benefiting from that great cause. It trickles down to them, and certainly you've been recognized in that regard as being good stewards of your donation. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very, very much.
The other thing I wanted to chat about is you are looking forward to something that you've never done before, and I want to give you a chance to tell our listeners about the golf tournament coming up.
Yeah, that's correct. So yeah, Drive Out Hunger is our first ever golf tournament, and it'll be happening on Monday, June 14th. And, yeah, we're really excited about this. It's a first attempt, and as I've talked about in previous interviews, this past year was our 50th anniversary, and we unfortunately had to cancel the first golf tournament, which was a 50th anniversary golf tournament. So we decided to give it a try again. And, so we're really excited. We already have some sponsors that have stepped up. Our two tournament lead sponsors are Merchants Bank and Farmers Insurance, the Jim Allen agency, and then Katie Lindberg, another Farmers Insurance agent, is the and also our vice president on our board of directors, is a dinner sponsor, and we definitely have other sponsors coming in, cart sponsors and hole sponsors, and so it really is going to be a great day. It's going to be an opportunity to learn more about our work, so there'll be opportunities at some of the holes and at the dinner afterwards to learn about what Hastings Family Service is doing in this community, but also be a chance to just be together if you're a golfer, have some fun, and get out there. I am not going to be golfing. I have golfed for many years. Not something I choose to do on a regular basis, but apparently I will be in costume and bringing some fun to the event. And so I've just been instructed of this. And when there's costumes, I'm always all in. So anyway, so it'll be a fun day. So we encourage, if you want information, go to our website at hastingsfamilieservice.org. If you have questions, you can also give us a call at 437-7134 and ask for Kelly, and she can talk to you a little bit more about sponsorship or getting a foursome, registration, and all of that good information.
So where's the event going to be, please?
It is going to be at the Hastings Golf Club.
And this is open to whom? Who do you think is a perfect candidate to come?
Anybody. The foursomes, we're asking people to register as a foursome, and it is $400 for a foursome, and that does include your green fees, your golf cart, and dinner. There will be actually a lunch served as well. So anybody that really enjoys golf, this is a great opportunity to get out and support the mission of Hastings Family Service and Drive Out Hunger. And I think people are really ready. And obviously golf is a great, safe way to be together and be outside and just enjoy just breathing fresh air, I guess. And so if you haven't played any golf yet this year, put it on your calendar for Monday, June 14th.
Love that. And again, we can sign up on your website.
That's correct.
Perfect. Chris, anything else you want to tell our listeners? We just have a couple minutes left.
Yeah, I guess, you know, April 18th is the start of Volunteer Celebration and Recognition Week. Like last year, since we can't be together the way we traditionally would like to, we're still going to plan some virtual events for our volunteers to celebrate. You know, those volunteers who have had to step aside and take a break during the pandemic, and those volunteers that, you know, are still active, and those volunteers that are waiting to come back. And so we just couldn't do this work without them, and we look forward to the day when we can all be together again.
Well, we recognize them as well, and I know that you rely so heavily on all the great volunteers, and like you just said, I'm sure they're chomping at the bit to come back to help you.
They are. We have the monthly Zooms with our volunteers, and that is the number one question. When can we all come back?
Chris, if people want to learn more about any of the things that you talked about, how can they do that, please?
They can go to our website at www.hastingsfamilieservice.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Chris Cope, the Executive Director of Hastings Family Service, and we are so grateful for your time today. Keep up the good work, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.